Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is July the 27th, 2024, or it is AB 22, 2028. We will start our first service today. I read a song, and then we'll put the sermon entitled, "He, the Rod Who Has Appointed." We're in track 9 by V.T. Holler, and we're on page 61. This is "Sunken in a Lead is Slim Slumber and Sleep, the City, the Church, and Yahweh's merciful effort to prepare it against this day of the trouble is to be startled to life by his urgent cry. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean." Isaiah 52:1. "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Yahweh is risen upon thee. For henceforth the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Yahweh shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to the light, and change to the brightness of thy rising." Isaiah 60:1-3. "For the church of the Laodicea, being the last of the seven churches, is the last section of the Christian church in which the wheat and the tares are commingled." The overcomers, the martyrs, from it, those who hear the rod, begin the eighth section of the church. And that's amazing. Because the eighth section of the church starts in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, bringing the seventh church to Laodicea to a close. Brother Johnson being the last one at the head of the Laodicean church, number seven. So, even though Brother V.T. Hollis started around 1930, Ben Reardon carried it on. Rose carried it on for 33 and a half years, the rod, with his version of 1970-2003. But still, the prophecy says it's the eighth church that hears the rod. And we're the Church of David as the eighth church. Started at the Passover 2002. Okay. The one symbolized by the thorn. Matthew 13:30. And by the vessel. Matthew 13:48. Also by the golden candlestick of the Zechariah 4. Of her, the Yahweh says, the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of Yahweh shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of Yahweh, and a royal diadem in the hand of my Yahweh. Isaiah 62, 2 and 3. Let's read that again. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of Yahshua the Son, and a royal diadem in the hand of the Father, Yahweh. Isaiah 62, 2 and 3. Among the latest sins, however, those who refuse to arouse and take in the situation, who will not sigh and cry for all the abomination that be done in the midst thereof, Ezekiel 9:4, will be left without the mark, and will consequently fall under the slaughter weapons of the angel, Ezekiel 9, while those who receive the mark will escape them and be shielded from the trouble, the shield being symbolized by the barn and the vessel, Matthew 13:30-48. For this sparing of the wheat on the one hand, and slaying of the tares on the other hand, among the first fruits, those in the church, foretoken the sparing of the good and the slaying of the bad among the second fruit, those in Babylon, Revelation 18:4. Since so the works in Laodicea typified that in Babylon. So the work in the Seventh-day Adventist Church typifies that in the Sunday-keeping Babylonian Church. And the Adventists have gone completely Babylon. So we're still dealing with the Adventist Church. While the Yahshua is now marking the first fruits in his kingdom, those in Laodicea, the ancient men, testimonies 5:2-11, supposing themselves to be doing his bidding by forcing the laity not to listen to the Yahshua's messenger and not to read his message in the shepherd's rod, are attempting to prevent them from receiving his mark, which is to keep them from perishing. And as prophecy showed, this war, when finished and led us here, spreads into Babylon as Yahshua begins marking the second fruit of his kingdom. And as the beast, supposing himself as do the ancient men now, to be doing the Yahshua's bidding, decree that all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, the Revelation 13:16, receive his mark rather than Yahshua, which is the chief commandment, also from perishing. These two markings, the beast and the Yahshua, in themselves show a time of separating the citizens of heaven from the citizens of the world. And because this is a work such as never was, it brings the time of the trouble such as never was. The great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, the present trouble and later share, has therefore to spread into Babylon and develop into the time of the trouble such as never was, a development which showed that the same satanic power now working in Laodicea will soon fully manifest itself in the consolidation with the beast within the churches in Babylon. So the Adventist Church is the seventh one of the seven to join Babylon there to oppose the marking of the second fruit, as it is now in Laodicea opposing the marking of the first fruits. And furthermore, as the eighth section of the church eternal, is of the seventh section, the church temporal, just so the eighth beast, the post-millennial world, is of the seventh beast, Revelation 17:11, the pre-millennial world. Okay. This inescapable parallelism between the work of the Yahweh and the work of Satan, which inspiration so sharply and visibly brings into focus, speaks for itself that we are entering into the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, a fact which should stir our hearts as nothing ever has. And since henceforth, from the time that the 144,000 are marked and the sinners taken away from among them, no more shall the wicked commingle with the righteous from that time on forever. Therefore, the kingdom church, the age that is pure. So, we represent the age church, the house of David. The kingdom church, the age that is pure. Prophetically looking forward until the church's purified state, the prophet Zechariah saw that every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Yahshua of the host, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seize therein. And in that day there shall be no more of the Canaanite in the house of the Yahshua of the host, Zechariah 14:21. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of the Israel after those days, saith the Yahshua, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their Yahweh, and they shall be my people, And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Yeshua. For they shall all know me, from the least of them until the greatest of them, saith Yeshua. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Jeremiah 31:33-34. Then shall go forth the word of the Yeshua. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. Isaiah 33:13. Okay. All who have acknowledged and profited by his might in the past, along with all who will acknowledge and profit by his might in the future, are to be found in the five groups in the kingdom. These groups are, number one, the 144,000, Israelites, the first fruits of the living, whose nobles shall be of themselves, and whose governor shall proceed from the midst of them. Jeremiah 30:21. They shall return to Jerusalem and stand on the Mount Sinai with the Lamb. Number two, those whom John saw after the sitting of the 144,000, gathered from all nations and kingdoms and people and tongues during the great tribulation in the time of the trouble such as never was, from the great multitude who go to Jerusalem before the resurrection. Those who arise unto everlasting life in the resurrection of the Daniel 12:2. And number four, those Israelites who shall come forth in the resurrection of Ezekiel 37:1-14 and 5. All who come in the resurrection of the Revelation 20:6 collectively, these are all the Israelites and Gentiles who shall return to Jerusalem, possess the promised land, and then the whole earth. Ironically, futile, therefore, in view of what we have seen in these pages, is the ever-strengthening aim to rebuild Jerusalem as one movement is endeavoring to do the response to the prophecies of the kingdom by taking there the non-Christian Jews, and as another movement is venturing to do in response to the same prophecy by taking there the English-speaking world. For a kingdom of the both believers and of the unbelievers would be none they're better than the kingdoms of the dead. They will in fact be nothing more than a Babylon, nothing more than a hold of every foul spirit and a chase for every unclean and hateful bird. Revelation 18:2. To work for such a hope is to take a long step toward the bringing in of a Satan. Powerful delusion, counterfeiting Yeshua and a counterfeit kingdom. Thus it is that only those who have been diligent students of the Scriptures and who have received the love of the truth will be shielded from the powerful delusion that takes the world captive. By the Bible testimony, these will detect the deceiver in his disguise. All the people of Yahweh now to firmly establish upon his word that they would not yield to the evidence of their senses. Would they, in such a crisis, citing to the Bible and the Bible only, the great controversy, page 625, in view of this urgency for the safeguarding of the Christian's crowning hope, the kingdom, it is expedient, therefore, for the consolidators of the main points thus far established in the ingathering. Hence, a summary of the first and second fruits. When the time of the terrors, the children of the wicked one, Matthew 13:38, has come to its full, then will commence the harvest, and it will bring the end of this world, Matthew 13:30-40. Taking place in the end of the world, it preforced as a gathering of the people by the Elijah's message. The last heaven-sent proclamation of the gospel, which is preached first to the church just before the great and dreadful day of the Yeshua, Matthew 4:5, and then unto all the world during that long expected time. For the message and finding the net full upon its arrival, and subsequently causing a division between those who accept it and those who reject it, it enables the angels to select the bad from among the good, Matthew 13:48. These good are the first fruits of the redeemed. Then follows the separation implicit in the call, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sin, and that you receive not of her blood. Revelation 18:4. These called out ones are the second fruit. In the first instance, the bad are cast out from among the good that are caught in the net. the message reposing in the church. Whereas in the second instance, only Yahweh's faithful are called out from among the sinners in Babylon. There being no terrors among them, for the terrors and the wicked were commingled in the former instance, because while men slept, says the Yeshua, the enemy came and sowed terrors among the wheat, whereas the wheat is kept free from the terrors in the latter instance, because, says the Yeshua, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Yerushalayim, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Isaiah 62:2-6. For the Babylon's dominion being symbolized by the scarlet colored bee, the beast upon which sits the woman, Revelation 17, the symbolization is therefore representative of an international religious political system the religious aspect is symbolized by the woman, the civil aspect by the horns of the beast, and the combination is symbolical prediction of a worldwide system of the church and state union. The beast alone, exclusive of the horns, represent, as do the beast of Daniel 7, the world's multitudes, the subjects of the antitypical Babylon, from among whom Yahweh's people are called. This giving constitutes the separation of the second fruit. From this, the truth is again seen that the first and the second fruits of the living, the one gathered from within the Adventist Church at the commencement of the great and dreadful day of the Yeshua, and the others gathered out of the Babylon of Revelation 18:1 during that day, constitutes the kingdom at its beginning and before the resurrection of the dead. For the fact, moreover, that only the good from the net were kept, and that only Yahweh's people were called out of the Babylon, hail the kingdom as the home of the righteous only. But this shall be the covenant, declares Yeshua, concerning this glorious truth of the kingdom that I will make with the house of the Israel after those days, saith Yeshua. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their Yahweh, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Yeshua, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Yeshua. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Jeremiah 31:33-34. And they shall call them, or cleanse Isaiah, as the holy people, as the redeemed of Yeshua, Isaiah 62:12. And in highways shall be there, he assures, and a way, and it shall be called a way of the holiness. Thine kingdom shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those as for the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. Isaiah 35:8. Number two, when this gospel of the kingdom, in other words, when this connecting up of the covenant of the everlasting of the Yahshua by his blood, that's Hebrews 10:19-20. When this connection takes place, it's called the gospel of the kingdom of David. The fifth group of labor, pointed out there in Matthew 20:6, is called at the 11th hour to be the last workers and head of Yahweh's kingdom here on earth, and all the world for a witness unto all nations. Matthew 24:14. For the work of the gospel shall end, and probation shall close for every human being. Number three, and both Jew and Gentile who have responded unto the call have been gathered from the four corners of the earth. Then will be the harvest of the end. Then will the last gathering, or the last lingering moment of the probationary time, have fled away forever. Then will the end have come, and from the great white throne will have gone forth the immutable fiat. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Revelation 22:11. Learning to then learn to unto their terror with the passing of the probation that they are forever lost, the neglected will cry out bitterly. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, we are not saved. Jeremiah 20. Behold, I come quickly, declares the Yahshua, following his Solomon pronouncement of the close of the probation, Revelation 22:11, and my reward is with me to give every man according unto his work shall be, Revelation 22:12. Here is another, or here's anchor evidence that probation closes before the Yahshua's visible return. This is wrong. Probation, Yahshua is the one that brings probation to us in. After his presence, after he comes and harvests the first fruits, then after he leaves the first fruits there in Joel chapter 2, that great army, to go and gather the second first, and then after he resurrects all the righteous dead from Adam down to the end, then Yahshua brings probation to a close himself after he has already come and done his work. Number four, at the close of the seventh plague, Yahshua himself visibly to every eye, Revelation 1:7, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of Yahweh, and the dead in the ashes shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Yeshua in the earth, and so shall we ever be with the Yeshua. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. But the righteous dead of all ages being resurrected and joined with the living saints in the kingdom of the everlasting kingdom of the heaven, Daniel 2:44-45, that is set up in the days of these kings during the probationary time, made up the righteous, having been set on his right in the kingdom, and the wicked on the left in Babylon. Then while the king sends those on his left into the everlasting punishment, he says unto those on his right. So he says to those on his right, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25:46-36. Following this is realized the long-awaited fruition of the glorious hope engendered of the Yeshua's promise, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14:2-3. For this stirring hope of every Christian is beautifully foreshadowed in the translation of the Enoch, Genesis 5:24. For the translation of the Elijah, 2 Kings 2:11, and the resurrection of the multitude from the Asherah led on the high, Matthew 27:52-53, Ephesians 4:8. A threefold typification and a triple accord with the Yahweh's law of the type, that where there is type, there must also be an antitype. Okay. Whether or not, assuredly, in this connection to be an antitype, ascension of all the saints, then there would not have been a type translation of Enoch and Elijah and the ascension of the multitude. For the type would have been arbitrary. Purposeless and misleading. Not only for the saints, therefore, but also for the heavens shall depart like the wicked shall cry. For the wicked shall cry unto the mountains to fall upon them. At the close of the seventh plague, there'll come the fullness of the end of which explains the revelation. The heavens the atmosphere of our earth, Genesis 1:8. He parted the scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island moved out of their places, for the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captain, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid in the den, and in the rocks of the mountains, saying unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. That's Yeshua. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Revelation 6:14-17. For the fact that all these events close with the second coming of Yeshua, also the fact that the prophecies plainly declare that Yahweh will gather all his people from among the nations, call forth his own from their graves, catch up all the redeemed, both the living and the resurrection, to meet him in the air, and to go with him to the mountains, and go with him to the mountains, which he has been preparing for them ever since his ascension. Destroy all the wicked, leave the earth empty without life or light, then make it void and without form, and finally let not the dead live again until the 1,000 years are finished. All these facts make manifest that the earth is to be in a state of the chaos while the saints live, while the saints live and reign with Yeshua in the heaven during the 1,000 years. In this way, Satan is bound by a chain of the circumstances, which makes it impossible of him deceiving the nations until the 1,000 years are finished, and until Yeshua again returns with the saints, calls forth the wicked dead from their graves, and allows them to live for a short distance or a short season of 100 years. That's found in Isaiah 65. A season in which Satan again deceives them, looking forward unto the resurrection. After the millennium, the revelator saw that the wicked went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from Yahweh out of the heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of the fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. This is the second death. Revelation 20:9-10-14. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given unto the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. Daniel 7:27-8. Seeing that all these things shall shortly come to pass, stand ye in the ways, says the Yahshua, and see and ask for the old path. Jeremiah 6:16. Now then give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister question rather than righteously edifying, which is in the faith, so do. 1 Timothy 1:4. Not giving heed unto the Jewish fable and commandments of men that turn from the truth, Titus 1:14. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap unto themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fable. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. My speech and my preaching, says the Apostle Paul, was not with the enticing words of the man's wisdom and in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of Yahweh, 1 Corinthians 2:4-5. Let this counsel warn Yahweh's people away from the precarious practice of the hanging their doctrines and their faith on the gilded hooks of the perverted interpretation and of the rendering from the tongue, unknown unto them, the Hebrew, the Greek, and this, that of the other, and of the interpretative translation that bolster up and serve the interest of the theological preconception, not predilections, better than those of the unauthorized version.
The authorized.
Of the authorized version. Okay, let's do that again. Then does the authorized version, for the versions which of Yahweh in his providence and in the foreknowledge of the finishing of his work by the English-speaking world, has given to his people to lead them into his kingdom. Beware, therefore, of the pretension of the pseudo-scholarship, which assumes to be more dependable than that which the Yahweh himself has chosen and wrought in the simplicity. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Matthew 24:35. End of our study. Additional information from tract number 9 of 1940, Behold, I Make All Things New, had 112 pages and was first published in 1940. 2 years later, 1942, it was revised, having only 78 pages. which proved that some information was left out. By comparing the two tracts, it was noted that the 1940 tract, number 9, included other valuable information besides the explanation of 1 Peter 3:18-20, as well as 1 Corinthians 15:29, which was not found in 1942 tract or number 9. To preserve this valuable information for the edification of the Davidian saints, these pages of 99-110 of the 1940 tract number 9 have been inserted here, which ends with the index page of 110-112. It looks like we have about 9 minutes left for our sermon. We'll continue on here. Behold, I make all things new. Track 9. The first angel's message. It says, fear the Yahweh, and give glory unto him, for the hour of his judgment is come. For the clearing of the appointed time of this message, we must take into the consideration of the revelation of the John, which from the 4th chapter unto the 22nd chapter is a continuous without a break. That is the conjunction and begin each chapter showing that all these revelations were given unto John at the time that the voice has said unto him, come up hither, and I will show unto thee things which must be in the hereafter, of the things that were to be transpire sometime after he had the vision of them. And John, having had this vision about 96 A.D., the first angel's message, therefore, could not possibly have been preached before that time. For to repeat, he is not writing of the things of the past, but of the things of the future. Again, for the fact that he says, I saw another, the first angel having the everlasting gospel. So the angel had the everlasting gospel, and the everlasting gospel is the peace of the plan of salvation, the fruit of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, that's found in Hebrews 10, and that's Hebrews 10:19-20. The Adventist in 1844 with the true angel's message did not teach that. They didn't teach the plan of salvation, the fruit of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, Hebrews chapter 10. So we're talking about the eighth group, who we are. They teach the plan of salvation. They teach the everlasting gospel. Adventists didn't even know what the everlasting gospel was. If they did, they sure didn't mention it. Again, I say the everlasting gospel is the teaching of the plan of salvation. Salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, through the new and living ways, that is, in his blood, and through his blood. That's in Hebrews 10:19-20, and that's in Hebrews 12:18-24. That's the teaching of the plan of salvation of the three angels, joined the last two angels, the fourth and the fifth, and all five of them teaches the plan of salvation to build the everlasting covenant of Yahshua as the everlasting gospel for the whole world. Again, in fact, that he says, I saw another, the first angel having the everlasting gospel to preach. Yeah, he had it, but the advent sure didn't preach it. No, the Adventist preached the 2300-year prophecy. They preached the Antichrist Day of Atonement. They preached the cleansing of the sanctuary of Daniel 8:14, like it was given to them. That's what they preached. They preached don't take the mark of the beast. They preached come out of Babylon. Babylon was fallen, morally. They preached that in 1844, which was what they told to do. But they didn't preach the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, of the New Testament, of the New Covenant. That's what the gospel was, and that's what it is today. Again, the fact that he said, I saw another, having the everlasting time of salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant to preach on the world, to the world, unto both the Jew and the Gentile, first and second fruits, further shows that this angel's message has not been preached before he had the vision, but that it was to be preached in the future. From that time, moreover, there is neither scripture nor history to show that the judgment began in or before John's time. Still further, as the first angel's message was never preached before 1844, then when the judgment hour came, this angel's message, the message concerning the judgment, went forth as the investigative judgment is in the two sections. The first devoted unto the dead, the second to the living, and the fact is evident that though the first, the second, and the third angel's message applied directly to the period of the judgment of the living, they must also, though, indirectly apply to the period of the judgment of the dead. Thus, the only except as a warning of the coming event. Had they been preached since 1844, hence when the judgment of the living commences, which will be by the eighth church of Daniel 2:44-45, which is the house of David, by those the laborers called at the fifth. At the fifth group of laborers called at the 11th hour, Matthew 20, verse 6, to start the judgment of the living. That's who we are today. The image of the beast is fully made up. Then these messages are, with a loud cry, to be repeated as present truth concerning the living instead of the dead. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be teaching the sanctuary system in our full living operation, which is the judgment of the living. That's what we've been teaching since 2002 since we left Kermit, Texas. For the foregoing fashion concerning the eternal throne as the provisional throne and the judgment prove correct the book which was used and the proclamation of the first, second, and third angels' messages and their first of application. For in it we read, I saw the Father rise from the throne, and in a flaming chariot go into the Holy of the Holies within the veil, and sit down. Then the Yahshua rose up from the throne, and the most of those who were bowed down rose with him. I did not see one ray of light pass from Yahshua unto the careless multitude after he arose, and they were left in the perfect darkness. Those who arose when Yahshua did kept their eyes fixed on him as he left the throne and led them out a little way. Then he raises his right arm, and we heard his lovely voice saying, wait here, I'm going to my Father to receive the kingdom. So he told them to wait right here on earth. Keep your garments spotted, or spotless, and in a little while I will return from the wedding in heaven and receive you here on earth unto myself. Then a clouded chariot with a wheel like the flaming fire surrounded by the angels came to where Yahshua was. He stepped into the chariot and was borne to the holies where the Father sat. There I beheld Yahshua as a great high priest standing before the Father. Early writings, page 55. Someone may ask if the names of the dead who have not and Yahshua endured unto the end of their life must be blotted out of the book of the life, then why did Yahshua preach unto the dead? Well, that's another story. This brings the end of our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. We're going to close now with a song. One, two, three.